It's Tuesday, February 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Yes, it's I'm back in Honolulu, and I am a bit jet-lagged, but a lot of great stuff to talk to you tonight. So definitely strap in, because here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And of course, sign up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, I tell you, I am back in town, back in Honolulu, back at home. And I arrived at about 7 a.m. this morning in Honolulu after being up nearly, about 20 hours straight. And needless to say, I took about a two-hour nap here at the house this morning. I did get a few hours sleep on the airplane on the ride across the pond, but still, I'm a little bit, as you would say, jet-lagged. Going this way is always tougher than going the other way, because you get in the morning and then you have to try to survive all day. And I'm starting the show recording at the normal time here in Honolulu, so always a challenge, but I'm up to it, and I want to welcome those of you that are on Ustream. Got a few people on tonight with us, and just kind of catch you guys up on what's been happening. Is spent the weekend with my wife's family. Had a very nice time with them. We overindulged in eating local Japanese food. It was just completely over the top, it really was. I got to go back to all my favorite eating places and hit all those joints. My wife is insanely jealous that I was able to sneak in to some of her favorite restaurants as well. But family took care of me, and it was very nice. And more importantly, I got done with all of the video editing. Between the time we were socializing, I'd run back to the computer, do a little video editing, and so everything has been pushed up to Blip. Now I just got to get everything up on Geek News Central. So that will happen over the next 3 or 4 days. You're going to see a massive number of videos put up on the website in Flash format. But if you want to get a quick look at all the stuff that's already up, I'll put a link up to the actual Blip feed. The Blip details are not as extensive as the as what I will put up on my website, because I'll have a full write-up, pictures and everything else. But they're all done. 104 interviews, and I think I finished the last 25 there at my wife's house. And you know what was amazing about doing those there is I did a speed test on their internet connection. Hold on to your hats. And I was impressed. 20 megs down and about 6 megs up. And the speed was unbelievable. Whenever I started to push a video, it would go up at about 300K, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're doing a file upload, it's huge. So needless to say, the 25 videos that I pushed Sunday evening their time, I went up in about 20 minutes. And wow, I was so jealous. And they definitely have a very fast pipe there. Matter of fact, I had one machine on, was running Skype with the camera turned on, and my wife was catching up with all the family and chatting, and we're kind of like having this family conference call. At the same time, I'm pushing videos at the same time. The system didn't even blink. it held steady, and Skype was doing good. So definitely a big fat pipe at their house. The flight home was really uneventful. I was lucky enough, though. I've flown so much here with United lately that I was able to get an upgrade. So I flew business class on the way back, which was really nice to be able to stretch out. And I think my seat had been tampered with because it definitely went down a lot further than the person sitting next to me, which made for it was okay. It was almost too far, so I had to bring it back up a little bit. But I think I got about 3 hours of the 6-hour flight back to Honolulu that I was able to sleep. So otherwise, great trip. Lots of stuff accomplished. Probably be heading out there again at some point. But for now, I'm home, and that's the most important part. As I spent time out in Japan, I did a lot of work with talking about vertical markets and vertical markets within the podcasting space. And we've really figured out that the vertical market or categorized content for specific sites is really a niche that we have to continue to expand upon. Now, in late 2008, my team at Raw Voice, we decided to approach some category leaders in the podcasting space and basically say, hey, let's work out a partnership, work out a deal. And while we don't talk too much about the details of those deals, when Jamie Davis launched the ProMed Network over at ProMedNetwork.com, joint collaboration between his company and ours. And Jamie basically is the boss of that website. He runs it. He's the man. He answers to no one but himself over there. And we take care of the infrastructure. We basically take care of the website hosting. We take care of the campaign management, some administrative stuff for him, and of course, help with the advertising. And that vertical market stuff has worked out. We proved it with techpodcast.com back in 2004, December of 2004, when we were conceptualizing techpodcast.com. We knew that a categorized content would be good. And of course, the Tech Podcast Network has been instrumental in the podcasting space overall. Overall, any other network or any other property that's out there has consistently been a much higher revenue generator. And now while Blueberry, of course, our property there, has done great and has grown and explosively as well, the consistency of those tech shows prove that building these vertical markets of podcasts was really a smart thing to do. And of course, now that we've got Jamie is basically has built out and is running the ProMed Network, we feel very strongly that working with others in vertical markets is a position that we want to get into in a much bigger way. So I'm looking for leaders in content categories or verticals. And what we want to do is form more relationships, come up with more agreements where we're basically build out more vertical category websites. It's because people, that's where they're going to seek this information out. It was within those websites, within those space leaders. So if you feel that you are a space leader or a category or vertical leader, you'll definitely want to send me an email, and you can do that by going over to the Raw Voice website at rawvoice.com and filling out, click on the contact button, send me your vitals, I guess, for a better word, and we'll definitely be in touch to talk with you. But there is quite a vetting process that we go through. It is a very serious endeavor. Lots of dollars are spent to roll out these types of sites. And we want to make sure that the people we work with are those that, are in it for the long haul and are business oriented. And not only that, can build a following. So if you feel you're in that position, we definitely want to talk to you and think about maybe have the idea of what you want to work on, a category or a vertical. It can be a very niche vertical. So that's the key, and I hope that you guys will take some time, and those of you that are listeners of the show that may be content creators, to think about approaching us with that. And we like to work with people that are fans of the company. That really helps as well. So wanted to pass that along. Okay, what else have I got here in the list today? There's someone had said here, Oh, there, GT is saying in chat on Ustream, he wants me to mention that Red Cross at redcross.org.au, the Australian Red Cross, is looking for donations. So all of our Australian listeners, of course, anyone throughout the audience here that would like to donate, it's for the Red Cross donations for victims of the Victorian bushfires in Australia. We've all seen this on the news on, you know, how many people have died and the number of homes that have been destroyed. So I know we've got a big Australian listening family down there. I'll have the link up to this in the show notes tonight. GT, thanks for pointing that out. More than happy to do that. And hopefully we can send some relief down there through the Ohana, through the audience of the podcast. If you are part of the Ohana, hey, I want, of course, welcome you to the show. Thank you for staying subscribed. Thank you for being part of the family. And really, in all honesty, you guys are the ones that really make this show what it is. And I hope that you spread the word about the podcast and tell people about it. Blog about the show. That's definitely appreciative. Whenever you feel that we're deserving of a write-up or something, that would be great as well, pointing out specific articles that we talk about. It definitely helps build the audience here. Always looking to build the audience. You guys are part of that as well. All right, let me go ahead and move on here. MG Dell, is that Mike Dell, or is that my friend from Michigan? Is it that's who you are coming up on the in the Ustream? If you are, aloha. If not, I apologize, but welcome to the podcast anyway. Hey, let me go ahead and take care of a little business here, and let's go ahead and pay some bills. And really, these days, you know, business travel is a profitability killer. So do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the easiest online meeting service. With just a click, launch sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from your desk. GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and use that you'll have your first meeting running in seconds. Plus, hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate, free voice IP, and phone conferencing included. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day, no credit card required demo. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at GNC. As well as GoDaddy. Hey, you know, GoDaddy has been the longest ongoing sponsor of any sponsor in the podcasting space. We are fast approaching 4 years of continuous sponsorship by GoDaddy, and you'll definitely want to get over to GoDaddy.com, show your support to them, picking up a domain name, renewing a virtual dedicated account, dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, or even picking up a new account and trying out for yourself. You know, these are the days when if you are in the situation where you may be facing unemployment, your company may be downsizing, you know, you may want to take a look at starting your own blog and getting your word out there and building a brand. And you can do that through GoDaddy, and very simple to set up an account with a shared hosting account. You can do install a blog in seconds, one click install. And when you get to that checkout counter to pick up that product, definitely remember the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10% on your order. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. And that's the big one right there, 20%, folks, on 1 year shared hosting accounts. So, of course, thanks, GoDaddy, for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Now, you guys didn't come to hear me ramble about sponsors or what was been happening the last couple of days, but I do have a good lineup of tech news for you today. I'm going to close a few windows here on the system. It's nice to be back in the studio because there's a bunch of givens. I always know exactly where things are at. Yeah, I don't have to worry about being set up on a strange table or contorting my body in a special way, because when you're in a Japanese hotel room, there can be times when it's very hard to, how should we say it, do business as normal. I must say, though, the last show, I didn't have any problems uploading, so it must be that I uploaded during a time when a lot of the folks were not surfing the internet, and that made it a lot easier to get the last show published. But as I said, let me go ahead and move into the regular content here. I got Feed Demon all loaded up. Hey, this first article is kind of on the science side, and I found it over at telegraph.co.uk. And I think this is pretty cool. What some scientists have done is they have created what they're terming a living doll, and it's made of human cancer cells. Now, I just want you to imagine kind of like a stick figure, but made out of like a gelatine, or what did they actually build it with there? They use capsules. Let me look at here. Capsules of collagen to build this structure of a kind of like a fake body. It's just like kind of looks like a stick figure. But what they're trying to represent with this discovery and with this modeling is that they're going to start building genetic models now where they take proteins and stuff that makes up cancerous cells, and then they're going to, you know, they're going to embody these very closely together in these collagen cells, I guess, and then they're going to build a 3D structure around that cancer cell with genetic material that would normally be surrounding it in a real human body. So I guess, for example, if you've got lung cancer, maybe what they will do is they'll take they'll have the specific type of cancer that is infecting the lung, and then they'll use lung genetic material around this cancer stuff, and then they will treat the cancer and kind of watch what happens around the outlying structures to kind of come up with better treatment systems. And it's like making models, genetic models of human human structures. I think this is pretty cool. And they say that the mold can be changed into any kind of shape or form. And he says what's really going to happen here is that can find out if what happens with the cancer when it's regenerating, or if they're killing it into submission with whatever treatment they're applying towards it. And this is live microorgasm. So pretty impressive stuff here. So I have this linked up in the show notes, and kind of a cool way for science to kind of come up with some new ways and some ideas on testing treatment of different cancer. I found a pretty cool little comic, and I guess the best way to describe it is there's a man, a stick figure here, man and woman at a bar. The guy's drinking, I'm assuming, a Coca-Cola or whatever he's drinking at the bar. And he asks the stick figure gal, "Can I buy you a drink?" And she pulls out her cell phone, and she optically scans the face of the person in the bar. And it queries a central database. It finds the identity, and it comes up with a user rating. And in this instance, the individual has half a star. And then there's user comments about the person, about the individual. In this one, he's got three thumbs down, emotionally inaccessible, a womanizer, liar, cheater. So basically it's got this, this rating of this person by this gal having scanned his face. And then in the next image, you see the individual sitting at the bar by himself. So, if you think about it today, and this is something that is probably true in a lot of things, your life is online, and what you do is online, and people can Google you, prospective mates, prospective girlfriends, can Google you and find out a lot of information about you. Now, at what point does it turn out where, this comes into reality with being able to scan someone? But it very well could be by, you look at what Google's doing now with this proximity stuff, being able to, you can update where you are. And just think about the potential of that in a social scene where you're walking into a restaurant or a bar or a club, and, basically you get this readout from some third party saying, okay, within this club, there's 82 womanizers, there's two nice guys, and the nice guys are, here's their pictures. Could it happen? I don't know. But maybe. at some point in future where we will all have a user rating. Instead of our Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts having so many specific friends, there will be a, you know, some sort of an online service. It'll say, give you all the details about an individual, positive and negative. So it could prove to be challenging in the future for the dating scene, I would think. But I just had to laugh at this. I think you guys will enjoy it when I when you go through and read it. You have a smile. Ladies will definitely say, wow, this is a good idea. I don't know if it's such a good idea for guys out there, but well, maybe, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander for sure. Hey, over on ecowordly.com, and those of you that are on Ustream, if you're making comments, apologize if I don't respond to you immediately here, because I've got part of the IRC chat window covered up. But over on ecowordly.com, there's an article about Bolivia. And the comment of the article says, will Bolivia be ruined, improved, or hated because of electric cars? And partially what it's responding to is that Bolivia is not only being a great resource for natural gas, they also have one of the richest lithium deposits in the world. And so as we get into this electric car range, dependent upon if lithium seems to be the battery material of choice, Bolivia could find itself on the receiving end of a lot of money coming into it as the demand for lithium increases. Now, I don't know how it compares to other countries, but Bolivia's in South America, and you've seen the devastation that has happened, in gold excavation in different parts of the world. If Bolivia is this big lithium provider, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see strip mines like we do in South Africa. But only time will tell. But the article talks a little bit about some of the political turmoil that's going on down there and some of the challenges that they're facing. So I think this is a pretty good write-up and maybe worthy of your time to check out and read about. Because, you know, you got to think about that. This material to build these electric cars has to come from somewhere. And it is another resource that per se is not obtained organically. It has to be mined and refined. So only time will tell. Hey, over on techcityandcorp.com, of course, I've now been looking more and more at different Linux applications. There's a list here on this website of 23 useful system applications for Linux. There's some there're BitTorrent clients. There's some 3D design applications, different types of login type screens, video editors, and so forth. So if you've loaded Ubuntu on your computer or another version of Linux, you'll definitely want to check out some of these cool apps that are available. And I'll have these linked up to you, of course, in the show notes tonight. Of course, they'll be delivered to all of you that are subscribed to the newsletter immediately following the show. And probably the biggest news today, we found out that Amazon has released they're about to release the new Kindle, the Kindle 2. So, that's one thing that I really was stressed about this last trip as I left my Kindle at home. Had it all charged up and was ready to walk out the door with it and left it plugged into the charger here at the house. And so I didn't have my Kindle during my trip. Had to resort to buying a paperback, and that's the first paperback I bought in probably over a year, and it just wasn't the same. It really wasn't. But the Kindle 2 is out. Reviews of it so far, besides the form functionality and basically changing a little bit, not very many new features. So I don't know what the story with that is, but not overwhelming response on it. So I'm not sure what the story is there on that. But anyway, we'll see what happens with the new sales of this. I was hoping on the Kindle that they would have put backlight in it, if they would have put some sort of a LED in some sort of lighting, because there's no way to read this thing unless you have it have lights on. When you're on an airplane, sometimes you don't want to have the reading light on. You just want to have the unit itself rolling. and running and just, you know, read it in the dark. But not the case with this new one. Form factor size-wise is just about the same, but the button placement is a little bit different. So I have the link up to the review on that. Of course, I checked the review out from Gizmodo. They had some pretty good coverage here. Hey, those of you that may have a great idea, and if you have a desire to be an astronaut, you may get a chance to be one, or as close as you're going to get to being one, for free. NASA is offering free anti-gravity flights this summer to anyone with a good idea or product pitch for spaceflight, but without the cash to test it. The space agency is going to offer spots to individuals, research groups, and institutions who develop ideas that have potential use in future agency products. So if you've been sitting on this idea, you think, well, this would be a cool thing to do in space, or a cool thing to test. You can go on the Vomit Comet and have fun with that, go on some rides. And but you got to act quickly here. Applications for free flights are being taken by NASA until March 20th. And the anti-gravity Vomit Comet rides will begin in August. But I will forewarn you, you probably will have to go through some training. And the folks on at NBCBayArea.com are recommending that you pack your Pepto-Bismol, okay? But if you've got a good idea for NASA, they may be just willing to put you up in the Vomit Comet. Okay, there's some folks saying they're still not seeing the stream. I'm seeing the stream on the backup feed here, so I don't know what's going on with this thing tonight. We had a little bit of a problem. Is it not updating? That is just irritating. It really, really is. So, you know, I don't know. When I was connecting to Ustream tonight, I was having some challenges with the with it actually connecting. And I don't know why it's not doing what it's supposed to do. I'm looking at the backup stream here and see what the backup stream is doing. And it doesn't appear to be working either, so I have no idea what's going on. But that's podcasting, folks. We will just continue to move on here and see what develops. All right. President Obama is going to be naming a cybersecurity chief tomorrow. It appears that he has found the new cyberhead. It's according to U.S. press reports. The announcement expected will name Melissa Hathaway to come in as a cyber chief. She is a cyber coordination executive for the Director of National Intelligence, and she used to work at Booz Allen Hamilton. And she's going to lead the review of the government's efforts to secure a computer network against spies, terrorists, and economic criminals. So that's interesting. A woman's going to be leading the cybersecurity section. So congratulations to her. I don't know anything. Of course, probably working where she works, you probably would not know anything about her. But we'll see what the press has to say over this over the next couple of weeks. Okay, moving on here. The Europeans, boy oh boy, they've been busy. Very, very busy in the fact that they are getting ready to punch up their own space observatory. It's called the Herschel, H-E-R-S-C-H-E-L, the Herschel Space Observatory. I hope I'm saying this correctly. But the European Space Agency's answer to the Hubble, it's about, has a mirror about 1.5 times the size of the Hubble mirror. And it's going to be able to look at things that Hubble has not been able to. So we'll see what happens with that. And hopefully they have a successful launch with it and get it into orbit. Okay, I don't know what the exact launch date is. They didn't actually say it here in the specific article that's online. Okay, moving on. Next article up is a federal judge last week ruled that SciStar, now if you remember correctly, SciStar is the group that has been having a little bit of a battle with Apple, has been told that they can continue its countersuit against Apple. And this is going to give the Mac clone maker a rare win at 7-month-old battle with Apple. And the judges hinted if Sisar proves its allegations, this may allow other companies to sell computers with the Mac OS X already installed. And, of course, Apple is currently suing Sisar over its sale of Mac clones. You know, I've got a Vudu here, and we don't use our Vudu as much as we use some of our other media stuff. But we've got Vudu has permanently cut retail price of its movie set-top box. So they've reduced the price by 50%, and that's pretty significant, folks. So the standard Vudu box started out at $999, went to $499, and now it's down to, you can snag a box from $149, and that was down from the $299 price tag that they had put on it here recently. So the price of the box has got down within really a bare bones price. It looked, you know, this is a little scary though. When the company is getting the price is down that low, it just makes you wonder if they have survivability at that cost. It just makes you wonder. It makes me wonder. But we'll see what happens to them. They got a great offering. They really do. It's too bad that they're in the situation that they're in. Those of you that are on Ustream, I know that you're having problems seeing me right now. I don't know why. I'm seeing it on my end. I have no idea why it's doing what it is doing. But I'm going to try and make a couple of changes here while I continue the show, and we'll see if we can get it to come back online. Hey, the folks over at Arches has been, they're going to be releasing a Android phone / tablet. And this is kind of exciting. We're probably going to be hearing more about this in the near future, but they're going to come up with what they're calling an internet media tablet. It's going to be running on Android, and it also doubles as a phone. There's no pictures yet of the device. But some insiders are claiming 7 hours of video playback, flash support, and it's going to be packaged in a pretty small package. But, finally, we're starting to see a lot of these cool applications that are going to be tied to the Android come out. And there might even be HD video playback on this thing. So if there is, that could be pretty major. It really could. Talking about this device launching in the third quarter of 2009. AMD has made some announcements on its own as well. AMD is announcing some new chipsets. And basically, it's kind of like an intermediary step before they come out with some of their new stuff. There's five new, and I'm going to destroy this, Phenomum, Phenom. Phenom 2 CPUs, and they've been benchmarked by a bunch of different websites, and with medium to semi-positive reviews, I guess, and they're generally pleased, but they're underwhelmed by the test results, and these chips are found to be pretty good for overclocking, so those of you that have thought about doing a little overclocking from time to time, you'll definitely want to check these out. Hey, by the way, on the content that we did at CES 2009, you'll want to check out the overclocking video that we recorded. Actually, the interview we did with Intel on their, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to just be blown away, their support of overclocking. Yes, you heard me say that correctly. Their support of overclocking. They have decided, you know, I guess they just figured out that they can't beat them. They're going to join them. So they're put together some tools that are going to allow those of you that overclock, especially notebooks, to play around and safely overclock with some tools that they provide. And that's remarkable. It really is for them to basically make the decision to go ahead and support that. I think it's pretty brave on Intel's part and something that I would have never had imagined of being able to see any time in the previous, I would have never expected to see it. I really wouldn't. And not only that, but just to have someone at the booth that was promoting it, it just was completely shocking. So let me make a little unplug there before I reload this one page. And you guys get inundated with some different audio that you shouldn't be hearing. So anyway, I'll have that link up to the Intel video as well, probably in the show notes, so you guys can check that out. Hey, there was a speech given today by Steve Ballmer, and it was given to some political folks. And this is a good read. If you're wondering about the economy and looking at the way the business sector is reacting to this, you'll want to – I think this is a pretty powerful speech. And it talks about, some realities of what companies are going to have to look to do to, to start becoming innovative again and not, necessarily being on the government's lamb so much. But it's a really good video. And I'll have that linked up in the show – not a video, good speech. So I'll have that linked up to you in the show notes. Pretty long read. But I read through it, and I was like, yeah, this is a pretty good one. This is pretty responsible, I guess. I guess the best word to say it of Microsoft to say the way they – basically for him to have said what he said in the times that we're in. So I think one thing that I liked about his speech is one of the third points of his discussion was, it says, America really needs to return – excuse me, America really has to return to growth that's built on innovation and productivity rather than leverage and private debt. That must happen. So in other words, he's basically saying, hey, we got to get back down to business of being innovative and in order to have growth instead of, working on the money that's being thrown at us and just, investing it to build stock shareholder wealth. So this is pretty good article, pretty good speech. And again, it was given to some of the political people in Congress. So I have this link up to you in the show notes. If I sound like I'm distracted, I am. And part of the reason is I'm trying to get the folks on Ustream back online. I don't know if I'm going to have much success here. There was a bunch of people that had tuned in, and I feel bad that we've left them behind. And this is the challenge of trying to do video at the same time that I am trying to make sure that the audio programming doesn't get distracting. I'm not doing a very good job of it, as you all can tell. So I think we're just going to have to do an instant replay at the end of the show for them. Hey, over on Robin Good's website, Best Anonymous Temporary Email. He's got a list of the top disposable email services and tools. It's a mini guide here. Now, every once in a while, don't you wish you had an email that you could just throw away, use it once or twice within a service? I didn't even know that they had like these throwaway email addresses that you could get from sites. One is Meltmail. Another is Mail Expire, Incognito Mail, Mailinator, Jettable.org, Yopmail, YOPMAIL.com, TemporaryInbox.com, GorillaMail.com. That kind of sounds like a spammer site. SpamFree24. So just an ongoing list here. Have these linked up to you in the show notes. You can check them out. He's got a kind of a cross guide as well to all of those different sites. Okay. Good article in the New York. I guess, is it the New Yorker? Let me look here. Yeah, it's in the New Yorker magazine about Twitter and kind of doing a comparison to how things were in the dot-com era of the 80s and what's happening in the dot-com era of the current times and how the folks at our Twitter are dealing with the economic downturn, how it's really, I guess, not affecting them to a certain extent. But pretty good article, and if you work in the with a startup, this is probably a pretty good article for you to read. Hey, over on PCPro.com, there's a and this is PCPro.co.uk. Excuse me, PCPro.co.uk. There's a report that a Firefox executive says that he does not want Firefox to be bundled with Windows. Now, if you've been following what's going on with the EU. Microsoft could be forced to bundle rival browsers with Windows after the EU ruled that the company had abused its monopoly by bundling Internet Explorer with Windows. And this was a charge brought before the watchdog by browser minnow Opera. Well, you know, sorry. You know, too bad. You know, I mean, at this point in the game, if you don't know how to go to a website and download a browser, it just blows me away. And how many of us are being forced to try to load Safari on our PCs? Every time iTunes tries to do something, it tries to push Safari on us. Maybe the EU ought to look at that as anti-competitive. I don't know. But anyway, Microsoft could be forced to bundle rival browser, but the folks at Mozilla Foundation and Firefox Architecture, Mike Connor, says he doesn't want the browser bundled with Windows. And he says that he goes on to attack Opera's claims that bundling harms competition. He says that Opera's assertion is something that's probably false. He says, Connor said that referring to Firefox ever-improving market share, which now stands at just over 20% worldwide, it's assuring that bundling leads to market share. I don't know how you can make that claim with a straight face, basically, and this is based upon Firefox having built their browser share without being bundled in anything. So we'll see what happens there, but the EU is pushing Microsoft once again, saying your antitrust stuff, you're going to have to open up, allow more competition. So what do you guys think? Should Microsoft be forced to bundle Opera in Windows? Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, over on TechCrunch, article by Jason Kincaid. Of course, Michael Arrington is taking some time off. There was an announcement last week where Meebo and Facebook teamed up to launch integration of Facebook's Kinect Plus chat, allowing Meebo users to chat with their Facebook friends from the popular-based IM service. As you remember, Facebook initially had pulled the plug on Meebo, but came back and worked with them to come up with an integration method that was sanctioned versus why they got pulled when they had an unsanctioned integration method. And so now those that are using Meebo can basically integrate with people on Facebook and vice versa. So one of the things that this article goes into is that Yahoo and Microsoft, maybe if they continue to act the way they have and not integrating with other services, and you know, basically Trillion really changed the way many of us, and of course Pigeon and some of these other follow-on applications, where you don't have to run AIM, you don't have to run Microsoft Messenger, you run a third party and you can, you know, basically chat amongst all of those instant messaging systems. So is Yahoo and Microsoft going to get left in the dust with some of these new services? They're letting people chat amongst one another without, you know, completely getting on the bandwagon and trying to integrate with one another. I don't know. But I know that I find myself largely using some of the Gmail chat functions as well. And to be honest with you, when I use Pigeon, I don't know which service I'm using. I see the person's name there and I right click and I say I am and it works. But those of you that are on Meebo and Facebook, maybe you guys would like to talk to some of your IM friends on Yahoo or Microsoft as well. I don't know. But they think that there could be a chance that Microsoft and Yahoo is left in the dark. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. It'd be I think there's just too large of a user base on those two services. There's also a new web service out there, an online bookkeeping service. It's called Outright. It was formerly known as GoBootstrap.com, but Outright at Outright.com is a pretty cool little simple, I guess for the better word, bookkeeping service that allows you to track income, expenses, do tax stuff, build reports. So it looks like you can do a lot of the stuff you can use you do in QuickBooks, but online. How many feel comfortable using a completely online service? I know that we've used some of QuickBooks as online services versus being, you know, just the software based on our business model, where we're all spread out all over the place. We can actually access the data from anywhere. But I know this is probably in competition with some services from Less Accounting and Xero. That's X-E-R-O. But this company continues to get some more money and looks like to be a pretty viable accounting system. So I'll just kind of like some feedback from all of you on whether or not you're using online accounting systems. And if you're not, if you check this out, let me know what you think about it. Okay, a notification aggregator alert thingy. I'm going to say that again. Notification aggregator alert thingy. Really, it's kind of copied a lot of stuff out of TweetDeck's handbook. The battle between desktop notification tools continues with alert thingy. Developing or actually releasing a new version that goes directly after it's one of its main competitors, TweetDeck, by copying some of the same functions or some of the same different options that were available in that application. So it looks like there's these two companies are going to go head to head there. If you're not familiar with Alert Thingy or TweetDeck, it's a pretty good application in that you can track a lot of different stuff, and you can watch for different notifications off of Twitter. You can search for specific words, look at categories, keywords, and so forth. But anyway, if you're interested in each of these services, I have a link up to them in the show notes tonight. All right, STS-119 could be further delayed. NASA managers delayed the launch of the next shuttle mission by at least 3 more days on Friday to give workers more time to investigate issues with a key set of valves. I guess the launch of ST-119, which is delayed earlier in the week, is now planned no earlier than the 22nd of February. This time will allow engineers additional time to study the possibility that flow control valves, which regulate pressure in liquid hydrogen propellant lines in the shuttle's main engines, could crack, creating derbis that may damage the lines themselves. Well, you know, of course, crack. I don't think that's a good thing when you're dealing with flow control valves. But they say worst-case scenario would require redesigning the valve and delaying the launch by up to 2 months. STS-119 is slated to install the S6 truss segment on the station and deploy its solar arrays and also exchange one member of the station's crew. So we'll see what happens with there. I guess this is a new bug or new engineering issue that they found on the shuttle. Amazing. They keep finding stuff after all this time. Lots more information about all these worms that are out there that are infecting machines that haven't been patched. All I can say is please, please, please make sure that your computers are up to date with all the latest patches. If you know, and make sure family and friends' machines are as well. Just a huge number of infections across the country and world based upon machines that have not been have been updated. Hey, and some pretty some news that blows me away. Microsoft decided that the Windows 7, now check this out. Microsoft has decided to limit Windows 7 Starter Edition to running only 3 concurrent applications. The 3-app rule includes applications running in the background, but excludes antivirus. The company claims, in other words, Microsoft claims, that most users would not be affected by the limit. They ran a study that suggested the average consumer has just over 2 applications open at any time. Okay, now this is kind of an interesting contradictory because last year at the Professional Developers Conference, Microsoft said that 70% of Windows users have between 8 and 15 windows open at any one time. Let me look here on my computer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 11 windows open here. At least 5 different applications. And then a whole bunch of stuff running on the taskbar. That's ridiculous. Windows 7 Starter Edition is going to be set up to only run 3 concurrent applications. What are they thinking? Unbelievable. This is really unbelievable. It really is. Only time will tell. We'll see what they continue to think up next. Hey, remember the guy that did the fake Steve Jobs blog who ended up being a columnist for Newsweek? He's come out with an article today talking about how bloggers are not able to make any money. Well, you know, I don't think a lot of bloggers make a lot of money, but I don't think a lot of bloggers set out to make money. I think bloggers that set out to make money probably do. I think podcasters that don't make any money have decided that they don't want to, and those that want to make some money are able to. So I don't know. This guy has made a lot of money. He's had a lot of speaking engagements, and he's basically saying blogging won't make you any money. And he definitely has made a lot of money himself. And, you know, anyone that can impersonate Steve Jobs and get the type of traffic he did, come on. You know he's making some cash. So has your blog made you any money? Do you care if it makes you any money? Do you do it to make money? How many of you are full-time bloggers? I dare say probably very, very few people are full-time bloggers. Why be full-time when you can do it part-time? Really, that's the thing. Just like podcasting, why do it full-time when you can do it part-time? All right, moving on. Google Now works with the Windows and mobile. Excuse me. Google Now works with Windows Mobile and iPhone in regards to synchronization of contacts and calendar events. So this is big. Google today announced that you can now truly keep these two things in sync between their services. Windows Mobile and iPhone can be synced both ways. There are a few bugs still in the service, but you can now synchronize contacts and calendar events. This is huge. It really is. This is something that's been missing that people have been wanting for a long time. So I haven't seen how it's actually implemented, but I'll definitely be checking it out. How many of you have been waiting for this as well? Have you tried it? Is it working? There are a few bugs. It does say that with the iPhone, you're limited to 5 calendars, and modified instances of recurring events are not always deleted. Modified instances of recurring events not removed when declined. So there are a few bugs right now, but I'm sure they'll get those worked out pretty quickly. But pretty cool. Pretty cool that they've made that available. Hey, there's a pretty good article over on ZDNet. I guess Spain has done a huge, huge job, or has, you know, taken a huge initiative and put up a lot of wind farms. And they were pretty confident they were going to have a good year in 2009. But now they're saying that Spain's wind farms are going to be hit with some very high winds here over the next couple of weeks. It will generate far more electricity than projected. That will in turn lower electricity cost in Spain. So that's cool. Really, it is. You think about it. So we'll keep our eye out on what happens there. But Spain has definitely went way green when it comes to renewable energy sources. All right, how many of you are still on dial-up internet? Well, there's a Pew study that says that about 17 to 19% of you are, let me read it here. The Pew Internet and American Life Project said 9% of adults are using dial-up to get online, and of those, 35% said they would not switch to broadband until prices come down. Of that same group of dial-up users, 19% said nothing would get them to switch to a faster connection. And a large number of those people were just don't have broadband access. And and there was a lot of people scoffing about people still up on dial-up. But, you know, most of us that are, you know, have traveled anywhere, have family members in rural areas, have found out that there is no broadband. You know, dial-up is the only choice. But I wonder if it's a, you know, those 19%, I wonder if it's has an age factor. I'd like to see the age breakout of those folks that said that there would be nothing that would get them to switch. I'd like to see the age factor on those folks. If they're largely older people or really what the demographic was. I just can't imagine people in today's age not wanting to have access to all the rich multimedia stuff that's available on the internet, that some of it is not, you know, really easy to view when you're on a dial-up connection. Okay, well, anyway, that wraps up the regular content for tonight. Kind of a choppy show, yeah? Sorry, we got confused about what was going on with the Ustream folks and got interrupted there. I interrupted the show a little bit tonight. but have a few email comments for you. Then we're going to get you out of here. No voicemail. No one's showing me any voicemail love. So feel free to call us up on the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. We'll be back with you again on Friday, of course, because with hopefully no more jet lag, I'll be caught up. But let me go ahead and get into the email here. Got an email from Lamar. He sent this to me via his iPhone. He says, "Hey, Todd, catching up on podcasts and listening to Geek News number 447. I use Gmail, but I will not use the offline portion because I use mail. I do utilize IMAP as opposed to SMTP. That seems to be working for me because I have a copy of Gmail and at home. Not sure if that's the old school, but it's working out for me over a year now. Love the show. Hey, you know what? That's the way I use it. IMAP is really the way because you keep two or three machines on, you know, up to date. When I travel, I got my laptop. It's in sync. Come back home, turn on the PC here. PC gets, basically downloads everything. It's resynced back up, and everything's on the same page. Really, IMAP. Really, you know, I don't know how I did without it before I made the switch. I really don't. I got some email from Jordan. He says, "Just because the federal cutover date will change to June 12th does not mean that local stations will wait. Most of our local stations have announced that they're cutting over on the original date of April 2nd. So that's probably true, but they still have to run those old signals until June. So we'll see what happens with that. I think on the next show we'll do the Why the Mac is Better, Why the PC is Better series. So get your last little bit of submissions in, and we'll put those up in the show, okay? Next one will be a little fun. Have a little fun on that. He got an email from Terry. He says, "Hey, I'm currently using a program called VirtualBox from VirtualBox.org. This is a free virtual machine program from Sun Microsystems. I know people that are running this on Mac, Linux, and Windows for the host OS. Version 2.1.2 fully supports Windows 7. So if you're looking to run Windows 7 on your Mac, there's how you do that. I got an email from Frank. He said, "Hey, here's my computer names: Orca, Swordfish, Tuna, Marlin, Mackerel, and Barracuda. So you use fish names. Other people use space names. Other people use family number names or made-up names like I kind of do." I got an email from Bob. "As I said yesterday," and what is this in regards to? Let me load this NPR story here. Okay. It goes on to talk about, despite digital TV delays, viewers may still lose the picture. And basically what this is, goes on to say, if you're one of the millions of Americans who have yet to prepare for the transition to digital TV, you've got an extra 4 months to get ready. Of course, with the House representative voting on Wednesday to delay the switch until June, the delay should give lawmakers time to inject more money into the government program. Now, they're saying here that some people, because of their range, I guess, may still have, whenever they do make the switch, may still have reception that it may not be able to get reception. One gal says, "The picture came up crystal clear," he says. "It was throwing until about 5 to 7 minutes later when the picture started to pixelate or to get a bar in the middle of the screen that said no signal." The person said that she gets uninterrupted reception only about half the time. To make a reception any better, Rush think it would have to move in an expensive rooftop antenna top or house. And it goes on to say, "This is not what they advertise. That's not what the message has been. You slap the box in and your life will be good." So it appears that there's about 15 million households in the U.S. that only get their TV signals over the airways. And you think many of them are going to lose it regardless because 72% have indoor antennas. He said those folks will have serious problems getting reception. The reason, he says, is that the digital TV signal behave differently than do the analog signal. Digital signals are more susceptible to interference from trees, buildings, low-flying aircraft, and even the wind. When digital signals get weak, the picture doesn't get fuzzy. It drops out altogether. But broadcasters say most viewers should be able to watch digital TV without buying new antennas. So that might be the case. But you know, I know most people there in the country, they have an antenna on their roof. So how many of you know people that just only have dog ears in the home? Don't know. Got an email from my Sweetwater rep. And they've put up a webpage that they made available that talks about the wireless spectrum and maybe some of the concerns that are going on over people that have different wireless systems. And I'll have this linked up in the show notes. This is a pretty good article I read from the folks at Sweetwater. Of course, Sweetwater is a company that sells pro audio gear. They're out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've actually been to their businesses from time to time. But I'll have this up in the show notes, and it talks about some facts that they're releasing on the DTV switchover. Got an email from Keith, and Keith sent me a link to the all of the MP3s from the Airbus going into the Hudson River. I think we probably most of them heard these on the watched them on the news and so forth. But these are the uncut ones. These are not without any interruption from the news services. I'd like to continue to put their 2 cents worth in. But it's a pretty good write-up here that he sent me. I appreciate that. Also got an email from Keith. He said, you'll spend a lot of time looking at this picture, guaranteed. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put up a picture. I'm going to put up a link in the listener links tonight that you guys all need to look at. This is absolutely an amazing picture. It's inauguration 2009. And the picture was taken with a robotic camera, and the image weighs in, check this out, at a whopping 1,474 megapixel. That's 295 times the standard 5 megapixel camera. It was shot with a Canon that pulled together over 200 individual shots. Each zoom takes a few seconds to focus, and then you can see some amazing reactions. Hey, you got to see this. And what I want you to do is, when you get it loaded, go ahead and zoom in on the podium where the president is, and take a look at the kind of the faces and the people around there, and then zoom out, and then go to the right and go down to where some people are standing close to the water on the mall on a flagpole. I want you to zoom in over there and just look. This picture is remarkable. It really is. The detail, oh, I'm not kidding. It's really good. I don't know what type of lens was used on this, but this is an amazing picture. It really is. I think you're going to find, if you don't agree that it's an amazing picture, you need to look at this, okay? Got an email from Jim. Hey, just talking about Macs appearing on more government desktops, so I have the link up on that. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. Got an email from Yitz. He said, hey, Todd, since many of your recent podcasts included issues with FeedDaemon, have you thought about trying Google Reader? And if you install Google Gears or use the Chrome browser, which already has Gears built in, you can use it in offline mode as well. Just a thought, Yitz. The problem is, Yitz, what I do with FeedDaemon is when I find an article I want to talk about, I load it in a new tab so that I have all the articles from one end to the other on a basically across the in tabs in FeedDaemon. And all I do is just click across those, and then I can basically talk to them. And I can't do that with Google Reader. I can't load up separate tabs for each article. It's actually loaded. I load the entire web page up. Very, very hard to do with Google Reader. I'll have to check out Google Gears if I'm using Chrome. I'll have to see how that will work, but I don't know. I don't know if that'll fly. Got an email from Andrew. He says, hey, Todd, I found this article and series of discussions very interesting in regards to the OLPC. It says OLPC throws in the towel, however, they're not stopping production. So I have this link up in the show notes. Got an email from Mark. He said, hey, Todd, check this out. Virgin Airlines going high tech. He says, there's no escaping the hip high-tech pulse of startup carrier Virgin America, which launches services at Logan International Airport in Boston Thursday with nonstop flights to San Francisco and Los Angeles. And he links up to some cool stuff that Boston is doing. So, the cool things that Virgin is doing. So I'll have that linked up. You those are super geeky will definitely like this. Got an email also from Andrew. Say, hey, Todd, just saw this Kindle 2 press conference by the minute. So this is our article by folks over at ZDNet, and I just almost messed myself up here. Let me turn that around. And then I got an email from Trucker Tom. And you definitely want to check Trucker Tom out at TruckerTomPodcast.com. He said, hey, Todd, thought this article was interesting. And it basically is an article about televisions to be fitted with contact lenses within 10 years. That's for all these baby boomers that can't see nothing soon. That's what it's for, Tom. I think it's pretty hilarious. But were they going to have switchable contact lenses so when one person's watching TV, or are they going to have it split screen or something? I don't know. So thanks for Trucker Tom for sending that in. All right, folks, going to wrap this up. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. And until Friday, take care. Again, kind of apologize for the convoluted Ustream discussion tonight because those folks got chopped off for some reason where they were able to watch the show. But until next week, y'all take care. Have a great week. It's great to be back in Honolulu. Family's fine. I'm doing fine. And we'll see you on Friday. Aloha.